Hello everyone, we are back and it has been a long time now, hasn't it? Things have been absolutely just super busy and hectic over the last few months. I myself have been kind of quarantined up here north of the wall in Canada, and it's strange, seeing how things are playing ra out around the world. But of course, here at CIMON, we are just trekking forward. We have lots coming up in Q4 of this year for A Song of Ice and Fire, and one of the most exciting things coming out at that time is going to be the attachment boxes. We spoke about these at the virtual expo, and we will be having some more articles and things leading up to these once they actually are closer to release. But it kind of inspired me a bit to speak a bit about them specifically, and also just attachments in general. So, for those unaware or missed the CIMON Virtual Expo, we have the attachment boxes coming out in Q4 of this year. Don't have specific dates, and I know it's a little far off, but we are living in a post-COVID world for most countries, and things are beginning to actually get back into gear. So that's the big release we're going to have for our Q4, is going to be our attachment boxes. So what those are going to be, well, as the namesake says, the attachments for each of the factions. And this is going to be a mixture of old attachments and new ones. Specifically, the older ones, the ones that you've seen previously, will be getting re-sculpts, unique sculpts to these boxes. And then each box will also have a number of new attachments in them that are unique to that box, which will eventually make their way into unit boxes into the future with different sculpts as well. But basically, we're making this as a product that is a one convenient place for you guys to pick up more attachments for your armies. So, for example, as you've probably seen by the title, today we're going to be talking about the Lannisters. So, say you want more guard captains, but you don't necessarily need to pick up more guardsmen's boxes, then this will give you a convenient source to pick those up, and also give you some alternate sculpt figures to throw about your army. We said this during the virtual expo, but this is something that I keep seeing come up online, so I just want to continue to mention this. This is an attachment box full of generic non-character attachments. Don't expect to see any characters in this box because, well, that's what hero boxes are for. This is specifically for the generic attachments that you'll see. But, so I decided that since we have a lead up to that I was going to be having a little series here, if it deems popular enough, to just go over all of the attachments for each of the factions and talk about just general thoughts and places that they could go, which units and which things they synergize with. I decided to start the Lannisters because they just have, by Kappa raw numbers, the highest number of attachment possibilities of any faction. And a lot of that does come from the Kingsguard attachments, which all kind of fit a similar theme, but we are going to get into those. I mean, those could honestly be their own, specific reported podcast, and I believe I have sometime in the past. But we're going to go over all of them today and basically some general thoughts. Obviously, we can't devote too much time to each one because that would be quite a lot, but we are going to go into some tactical depth about, just general uses and units that they should go in. I want to say that we will not be talking about any of the commanders because there is much more to factor in when it comes to them, such as, the generic tactics deck that they go with for each of the factions, their tactics cards they contribute in general playstyles. The attachments are more kind of streamlined, that they do their own thing. There are going to be commanders, of course, that they obviously synergize better with, but today we're just going to kind of look at them in an independent bubble. Looking at them as far as the Lannisters go, what units they go into, independent of the commanders, because you guys can take those examples, do some list building, and kind of find your own play style by looking at some of the videos or some of the reports of those individual commanders. So today we're going to have just a focus on the attachments, kind of viewed as like their own independent bubble, which is not, I will admit, the best way of looking at things because you really need to look at your army as a whole. But hey, talking about stuff is exciting, and just giving some general thoughts would be really cool. So today, let's go ahead and start with probably the representative attachment of the entire Lannister faction, and that is going to be the Lannister Guard Captain. This guy obviously has a home in the Lannister Guardsmen. His ability is Order at Any Cost. When a unit fails a panic test, instead of failing, the unit suffers one wound and automatically passes this panic test. This keys up very well with any unit that has Lannister Supremacy. And that's kind of where he's found his home, is when you stick him in units such as the Lannister Guards. A lot of people view that unit as being a 6-point unit because they just kind of automatically assume that they're going to stick a Guard Captain into him. Is that a strong option? Absolutely, because you're going to be triggering Lannister Supremacy at least once per round via that order. But it also gives them an extra layer of survivability Because, a panic test, you can suffer between 1 and 4 wounds. Here, you're going to only suffer 1, regardless of the outcome. Assuming that, of course, the order is still here, you can still get double attacked on the unit and bypass that. But he does give another note of survivability, so that's the unit that he's going to find his home in. But beyond that, he really goes well in most any other unit that could potentially suffer from morale issues. And Lannisters are not known for their ability to really hold a lot of morale, very highly. That is one of their core weaknesses of the faction. So sticking a guard captain will make the unit have an extra layer of survivability. Now, is that worth a 1 point attachment drop? That really depends on the unit. Actually, I find his best place to be outside of Lannister Guardsmen is going to be neutral units that you're going to splash into your army, because a lot of them are going to be high damage but very low defensive capability units, such as Bolton Cutthroats, and alike. Putting them in there will give them a little extra survivability. Technically, if you wanted to have a little bit of a bunker unit, you could also stick them into some Stormcrow mercenaries, and that's still going to be a 5-point unit because of their adaptive special ability. Now, I do believe that there are better options for the Stormcrows, but that is something to consider. Another place that is nice to stick the guard captain is actually going to be most range units, such as the Lannister Crossbowmen. They are going to force a issue of the opponent's going to usually have to go out of their way to come after them. If they get wrapped up in melee, they're probably going to get killed. So, that's just a factor that's going to happen. But if your opponent doesn't dedicate the resources to actually going after them, they're usually going to try to take them down via something like crown zapping them or using ranged attacks of their own. In this situation, the guard captain can actually help keep them alive and really force your opponent to have to go after them in melee, because that little bit of chip damage that they might suffer from failed panic tests due to crown or tactics cards effects or those is just not really going to do it, because you have to reduce them down to last rank to remove any of their efficiency. So crosswomen are another good pick for where you're going to stick your guard captains. Pyromancers are another option as well. That's going to give them a slight defensive edge. It's definitely, to me, a distant third choice, because with pyromancers specifically, that to me is just an all-in aggressive unit. I don't really care about keeping them alive too much, so therefore I'd usually want to put more of an aggressive attachment with them instead of sticking something that's going to potentially keep them alive a little bit longer. So therefore the guard captain is a very distant third choice with them. So with the guard captain, of course, he has his home in the Lannister Guardsmen. Past that, it really just depends if you want to devote the resources to having a defensive option somewhere. I would say that Lannister Crossmen are his going to be a second pick. Stormcrow Archers, a decent third pick for the same reasons I mentioned on the Crossmen. And then past that, really just kind of a sprinkling through the neutral forces. The next one, the second one that comes in the starter box, is going to be the Assault Veteran. The Assault Veteran has the Hold the Line ability, so if you begin the turn engage with your target, you're going to get +1 to hit and +2 attack dice. This is going to be your aggressive Lannister option, and they don't really have a large number of those, so this is going to be one that it's going to be very attractive for a lot of different units. This is for any play style that you're going to want to take that just really could use more of an offensive push. Going through the units that you have here, the Halberdiers are not a bad choice. I mean, he comes in the box for them. This is going to help them with their to hit, which they're usually hitting on a negative 4 plus with 8 dice. This is going to bump that to a 3 plus with 10 dice with Sundering. That's a just great thing for a unit that wants to really bunker in there and get stuck on objectives. Another option is the House Clegane Mountainsmen, because that's really going to push their offense to the next level, where they're going to be hitting on a 2 plus with Vicious, Critical Blow, and then the extra 2 attack dice. So the thing about the Clegane Mountainsmen is that they have average defensive stats across the board, and their dice, drop off is not terrible, but it's not fantastic either. So this is going to help mitigate that as well. But if we're getting to the best units, I think, to put the Assault Veteran in, then we have to go back and look at the Pyromancers, because as I just mentioned previously, this is an all-in just aggressive unit, and they are one of the highest damage output units in the game. If you stick an Assault Veteran in with them, then they are going to be in melee with their Wildfire attacks, hitting on a 2 plus, and they have a special ability, so if they roll a 1, it still deals a wound. So that means that anything you roll is going to be causing a wound. The ones that are going to cause you a wound as well, but we're going to bypass that for now. With potentially up to 8 dice, with Vicious, with the defender not getting any saves, that to me is your definition of just absolutely just decimating a unit. Well, not literal, definition of decimating, but we're going to move past that. The important thing is that with the pyromancers, your dice stats are a 6-5-3, so they start very low and they really have a bad drop off once they start getting hit. The assault veteran also helps mitigate that because even at last rank, these guys are going to be throwing 5 dice that do not allow defense saves and hit on a 2 plus. Again, with that special ability, if they roll a 1, they both suffer wounds. So that means that you're going to throw 5 dice that's going to deal 5 wounds, no chance about it. So these guys have to be taken out entirely, or they're going to hit you really hard with, 5 direct wounds, and then a panic check with vicious on top of that afterwards. So you're really going to be dealing a lot of damage with them. Another option to potentially consider with the assault veteran is going to be a unit like the House Bolton Blackguard, or really any type of big tanky unit. These guys really have a home in. Anything that really just wants to get into combat, grind things down, and then have a bit of a sustain to them. Which Lannisters do have a number of options for, with again the halberdiers. You can take some neutrals in the House Bolton Blackguard to stick that out. You can actually put them in a unit of Stormcrow mercenaries as well, and with the adaptive rule, you're getting it for free. So for a 5-point unit, in that situation, you're going to get the +1 to hit and the +2 defense dice, or sorry, +2 attack dice, which is going to bring their profile to a 3 plus with a 9-7-5 attack profile, with the potential to have multiple attacks per round due to motivated by coin. So, that's something not to sleep on as well. Essentially, with the assault veteran, any unit that you really want to have just an offensive potential, you can go and stick assault veteran in them. It's going to kind of crank them up to 11. If you have a defensive unit that really is going to bunker down, the assault veteran is another solid pick for them because they're going to be able to survive in melee long enough to constantly be making use of that engaged special ability there. So, really, if you just want raw attack power, the assault veteran is one of your go-to options, because there's very few units that he can't really make a use of in some situation. It just depends if that's the best option to go with. Moving on, we have the third of the generic Lannister attachments, the Champion of the Faith, with the Unwavering Conviction ability. This guy was updated in 1.5 and now has the following. When this unit activates, it may make a morale test. On a success, it restores it to 2 wounds. On a failure, restore 1 wound instead. So a lot of people look at this and they just go, oh, he's just going to be thrown into the Poor Fellows, and he's going to be thrown into the Warrior Sons, and that's the only home he's going to have. And that's true. He synergizes exceedingly well with faith units. Now go figure, he is the Champion of the Faith. But I do want to implore people to actually look at putting him in other units. I mean, I know that a lot of the Lannisters do have morale issues, and it's namely their average morale sits around a 7 or so. But they do have a decent amount of options that have a 6 plus. And a 6 plus, you're going to pass majority of the time. On a 7 plus, you're passing about half the time, so it's not like it's wasted. And even then, you are still healing a wound every single time you activate. And that little buildup of healing can really matter. So, looking at the Champion of the Faith, obviously the Warrior Sons and the Poor Fellows have natural synergy with him because he's going to allow them to start taking those morale tests to start gaining the benefits of their faith tokens. With the Poor Fellows who self-damage themselves but also have healing, he's going to ramp that healing just really up to 11. And with the Warrior Sons, just being able to do that little bit of healing, for them it's more important to generate the faith tokens because they're going to be burning through them a lot more because they'll be using them on the attack and the defense versus the Poor Fellows who are just attack, attack, attack. And therefore the healing is going to help them out because they're wearing, paper shirts and everything. Past that, what other units would I stick him in? Halberdiers are another good choice for him because they don't lose attack efficiency until you hit that last rank. And so as long as you can keep them at least 5 health, effectively of 5 models, they're going to be throwing their full attack profile of 8 dice, 4 plus hitting with sundering. So it's going to give you more of a sustain option, and especially with the halberdiers, who are a unit that's fairly cheap, and it's 7 points when you're taking this attachment, but they can sit on an objective and really punish any opponent that comes after them. That's a good option there. I still believe that the best unit for him is going to be the Poor Fellows because, yes, they're wearing paper armor, but the healing that he brings to them, combined with their own natural healing via the reinforcements, that unit is going to stick around. And a lot of people look at the defense save and they're like, oh, they're just going to get shredded up. But the thing is, they're never going to fail panic. You're talking about a unit with an innate 3 plus to their morale stat. They're never going to suffer panic damage. And sure, you can sit there and attack them, and they're going to fail the majority of their attacks, but every time that unit is activating, it has the capacity to heal up to 5 wounds. So it's gonna stick around, and this is excluding any outside influences. So with the Champion of the Faith, of course, synergizes well with faith units, but don't be afraid to stick him in other places that, might need a little bit of, extra healing there to keep themselves sustained. Now, I am sprinkling this actually randomly through here. We are going to be looking at the Sentinel Enforcer from the attachment box. The Sentinel Enforcer is going to be bringing Taunt to the table. Taunt is when an enemy in short range that has line of sight to the unit activates. That enemy must make morale tests, and on a failure, it must declare a charge action against this unit if able. So for one point, you're going to be able to get some battlefield manipulation, as to where you want those combats to go. Now, the number one unit for this guy is obviously going to be Halberdiers. You stick him in a unit of Halberdiers, and then the opponent has the potential to be forced to charge you, and you're going to activate your Set for Charge ability, hit them, it's just going to be a bad day for them. That's going to be by far like the number one place to put him, but that's also going to make them a 7-point unit. Now, with the natural synergies that the Lannisters have, that's going to be a good investment. You can stick Cersei on, you're targeting, they're going to get -2 to their morale test, it just makes things easier for them to fail, for you to get your effects there and everything, and really pull them forward. That's going to be the number one spot for them, just because you get that really cool Set for Charge ability. Lannister Guardsmen are another good option because he's cheap. That's a good option just to put them there. They'll get stuck in combat. If they attack you, then you can trigger, your Lannister Supremacy ability, assuming you pass your morale test, but, you've got ways to boost that as well. And then they're in combat with a really kind of tanky unit. Another good option there would be Stormcrow Mercenaries, because they are cheap enough with their adaptive rule for 5 points. You can just get someone to go and pull them off objectives. That's another just nice little combo there as well. Technically, you could put them in Pyromancers if you wanted to, just stand back and shoot. Not really my first pick there, but definitely something you can do. Really, with this attachment, it's going to be about, thinking what unit is going to be the dedicated role for this. Like, another one is you could put him in House Bolt and Blackguard to really pull guys into combat. He's really good in any unit that your opponent might want to avoid having to get in combat with. And really at the top of the list there for Lannisters, it's going to be Lannister Guardsmen and Halberdiers. So that's really going to be your option to your best two options there. Past that, it's going to really depend more on your commander and your whatever other tricks you bring to the table. Taunt itself is a nice ability, but it's really needs synergies to reliably work. And Lannisters do have a number of those in their baseline tactics. So really, that's going to come into play more so of your NCU options with your commanders and how you really set up the rest of your list as to how useful this is going to be. It can be useful in most any unit, but that's really where you're looking at as to, how it's going to, play out. The next one we're going to look at is one we showcased at CMON Expo, which is going to be the Clegane Butcher. So, this guy here, funny enough, the version that we showcased off there, that one was a slightly outdated version. And that guy has actually been updated in the intermediate time since then. And I'm actually trying to remember exactly what he does. Because I don't want to misquote you guys on, we're technically talking about spoilers here. So I'm actually going to come back to him toward the end once we start talking about the cavalry attachments, which, granted, there aren't a lot. In fact, it's him and technically the Mountain That Rides, which we're not going to talk about because that is a Kickstarter exclusive model. That guy will be coming out in Hero Box 3 sometime in the future, blah, blah, blah. Not something that we're going to be looking at right now. So looking at some more of the generic attachments that are available to the Lannisters, we are now going to actually start getting into the characters that we would have there. And these are, again, going to be the non-commander versions of the characters that we're going to be looking at here. And Lannisters do have a bulk number of characters that we're going to get to, including all the Kingsguard. So this is going to, we're just going to start deep diving into these things here. And I guess we're just going to start going down the list, and there's not going to be a specific order here to the ones we look at. So the first one is going to be Preston Greenfield of the Kingsguard. We'll just get right into the Kingsguard here. The Kingsguard all have the unique abilities that trigger off of controlling the Crown Zone, so this is going to be very list reliant on how effective they're going to be. You have access to the Joffrey NCU, which is going to allow you to perpetually claim the Crown Zone for taking Joffrey with some minor set drawbacks to him. But The Kingsguard can still be useful without running that. Now, granted, it is tailored to a very specific list. If you want to control the crown and run multiples of the Kingsguard, that is something that you're going to have to consider. But the crown zone is very important to the core Lannister playstyle. So, you shouldn't shy away from including some of these guys just because of that, because odds are you're going to be taking the crown anyway, so you might as well take advantage of that. Now, Preston Grinfield is a 1-point attachment, and his Prosperity of the Crown. While you control the crown, each time a unit performs an action, you may draw one tactics card. This is just a generically useful effect, but he is compounded by any unit that you can put him in. That's going to gain additional actions for being able to do things. I know a very popular one is to put him in the House Bolton Bastards Girls, because they can make a ranged attack action. Which triggers their charging volley ability, which allows them to make a charge action. So therefore, you're basically going to be able to double tap into Preston and draw two tactics cards off the same action. So, that's another, just basic combo for him. Preston synergizes really well with any commanders that also give additional actions to units, such as Tyrion, and anything that's going to manipulate through there. So those are things to factor in when looking at Preston. But in general, just drawing tactics cards is also very important for the Lannisters because they have so many nasty little tricks that they can utilize. So, that's something to factor in there. Moving along with the Kingsguard, we're going to look at Meryn Trant. Now, he has Intimidation of the Crown, which is while you control the crown, each time this unit performs an action, one enemy in long range gains one condition token. Condition tokens, by and large, are just super useful. Lannisters have a lot of token play when it comes to certain play styles, but really, I mean, no one's ever going to complain about an effect that's going to give them, a condition token. Panicked is great for them to hand out. Weakened is going to be universally just something that keeps all your guys alive. So, there are just, no one is ever going to say anything bad about any form of conditions. So, this guy is just great, and it's again, it's another one of those situations where every time you want to just double down on any type of action, which again I'm gonna keep going back and quoting Bastards Girls there, that's one of those situations where you're going to really get the best use out of this guy once you start t if you want to take that route. All right, continuing our little tour of the Kingsguard, we're going to move over to Aerys Oakheart. So at 1 point here, while you control the crown, enemies suffer -1 to hit while attacking this unit with melee. This guy is a little limited in his application, specifically because you have to control the crown, and it does have to be a melee attack, so it's not going to protect you from range. But still, giving a -1 to hit is giving a flat -16% chance to get, hit by anything that comes at you. This guy requires a bit of setup, and he's definitely catered to defensive units. Now, the problem with Aerys is that, you do want to find a nice defensive housing form, but at the same note, there you have to find one that you would not want to stick a guard captain in. And in that situation, a guard captain is going to help you prevent from morale damage from panic test, which is going to help you prevent usually on average a little bit more damage here. Aerys is good in any units that would technically work off of the opponent's missing attacks against you. Or suffering negatives to hit. And there are a couple units that I can think of offhand that I really can't actually mention yet that are going to really cater to him. But in this situation here, it's really one of those like, are there current places with the Lannister roster that I would stick Aerys over another attachment? I can't really say so because I feel like a lot of the other attachments are kind of going to perform better for what you're going to bring, but there are going to be some units coming out in the closer future and some situations that might change that are going to bring him, a little more as a little bit more of an attractive option there. Continuing with the Kingsguard, Boros Blount, Vengeance of the Crown, 2-point attachment now. While you control the crown, each time this unit is attacked with melee, after the attack has been completed, the attacker suffers D3 wounds. This guy here is just going to punish anyone that comes at you, and this is one of those what I like to call just generically good effects. This almost doesn't matter what unit you stick him in because it's just a punishing effect that happens, to anyone. It's almost independent of the unit's abilities, and sometimes you're going to have attachments that do that with like some of the Kingsguard. They're going to be slightly better synergies with drawing extra actions if you can pump extra actions into things and they have that built in. But a lot of their abilities are just kind of independent of wherever you stick them. It's just going to be a nasty effect that happens when it happens. Boros Blount is going to be one of those examples of that. You can theoretically stick him anywhere and he's going to, get work done. I mean, theoretically, if you wanted to look at like the best unit to stick him in, I guess it's going to be Stormcrow Mercenaries because they reduce his cost by 1, turning that into a 6-point unit that has baseline average stats across the board, but anytime you attack them while you're controlling Crown, then you're going to suffer some additional wounds. So, that's something to factor in there as well. But really, it doesn't matter what you stick Boros Blout in. His ability is kind of independent of the whole thing. Moving on, we have Mandan Moore, another 2-point Kingsguard attachment. Dominance of the Crown. While you control Crown, this unit's melee attacks gain plus 1 to hit, and when attacking enemies of fewer remaining ranks, also gains Vicious. This is going to be a double whammy effect that you're going to gain plus 1 to hit, you're going to gain Vicious at the stipulation that you're going to be attacking something with fewer ranks. So that's theoretically another one of those things that this guy is good with whatever unit you stick him in, because he does kind of function independently. But really here, you're going to want to put him in a unit that obviously doesn't have Vicious innate, and could also use a plus 1 to hit. The number one thing that immediately comes to mind there is going to be Halberdiers, who have an 8 die attack profile until their last rank, but suffer from only having a 4 plus to hit, and don't have Vicious innate. So if you stick Mandan Moore in them, with them and keep them healed up, they're potentially throwing down, 8 dice with Sundering and Vicious with a 3 plus across the entire lifespan until they're reduced down to one rank, in which case, dominance isn't going to work anyway there. So that's going to be like a number one pick right there to stick him in. Another one that, I actually see people overlooking when they're talking about, places where to put him and whatnot is actually going to be the Warrior's Sons. Because while he does make them a very expensive unit, he is going to make them hit on 2+, and he is going to give them Vicious to their attacks, and they actually have the ability to kind of, keep themselves well-sustained with their defensive capabilities. So, and also, especially if you're running High Sparrow. But in this situation, because they can make the defender panicked and vulnerable, they're going to synergize very well with the Vicious that he gives them built in. And, you're going to make use of that panicked and vulnerable. Another potential option with him is to look at the House Bolton Blackguard, who do not have Vicious innately on their attacks. So here, but they do have the tanking capabilities to actually survive to have more remaining ranks. So in this situation here, you're going to give them, again, another unit that has a baseline 4 plus to hit, but you're going to be giving them a special ability that's going to synergize very well with most any type of commander that you're probably going to run with him. So I will say that, of the options, as far as attachments go, he is going to be a bit more of reliance on, the rest of your army and your commander and things like that of where you're going to put him. Moving right along, we're going to move into Jaime Lannister, the Kingsguard version here, which brings Expert Duelist to the table for 2 points. Expert Duelist is going to be each time this unit makes a melee attack against an enemy infantry unit, it deals one additional wound. If there is an attachment to that unit, you may instead roll a die. On 3+, kill that attachment, moving one model from the back of the unit to fill its slot. So there's two things that Jaime brings to the table. One is a crippling paranoia fear in your opponent that you're just going to absolutely destroy all their attachments, and that is kind of worth his points as it is. But the other aspect, and arguably the more important one, is the fact that anytime you attack, he just deals a straight-up wound. So Jaime is absolutely paramount to sticking into any unit that is going to trigger off of successfully dealing damage to your opponent. And usually those are going to be anything that has a very nasty panic effect, because that means you're going to be ensuring that they suffer a panic test in some capacity, because you're going to be dealing a wound through the attack. So that to me is actually like the mainstay of his ability, is being able to just make sure that you're always going to cause that versus just being able to kill attachments. That's going to be the scarier thing that a lot of people are going to remember when it happens, but I really do feel that the singular wound is going to be the effect that is really going to have more of an impact there. Now, as far as which Lannister units I would stick him in, House Clegane Mountainsmen are going to be a fantastic option for him. Theoretically, Pyromancers, if you wanted to deal an extra wound, I guess, on top of what they're already doing. But really, I think that you're going to find his housing to be any unit that has Vicious or anything that's going to trigger or cause negative effects when your opponent's going to have to make a panic test of some variety. So that's something to really focus on there. I really feel that, again, the dealing one automatic wound is actually going to have the bigger impact throughout your games than the ability to assassinate attachments. That's going to be more of a situational thing that's going to put more fear into your opponent and more of mind games and control, whereas the wound is actually going to cause, actual work to get done. Moving on with the Kingsguard, man, there are a lot of these guys. I just keep forgetting exactly how many we have. We have Barristan Selmy, Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, and also that was kind of a dumb statement. I mean, yes, we have seven Kingsguard because that's how many there are. Barristan Selmy coming in one of the most expensive options in the Lannister arsenal with 3 points, two effects, stalwart, plus two to morale test rolls, and then duty to the crown. Each time you control, while you control crown, each time this unit passes morale test, it may resort to D3 wounds. So Barristan is falling again into that camp of he just kind of does his own thing, and there's not a bad unit you can stick him in. Stalwart is a super rare ability for the Lannisters to possess, and it's just universally good across the board for them. And then he's going to throw on healing on top of that. He is a really big, expensive attachment, though, but he really does bring a lot to units. Now, units that have a good baseline morale stat already, that is going to be something that you're probably not going to want to stick him in because you're kind of wasting it. Like, I wouldn't stick him in a unit of poor fellows. I say that, but in thinking about it, you're going to have, what's going to come out to an 8-point unit with a 1+ morale save. That is going to, every time they pass that, heal D3 wounds. Every time they activate, they're going to restore D3 wounds. And just, it's going to cause them to also gain a lot of faith tokens. I mean, yeah, that's kind of nasty, but again, you can kind of stick a 1-point Champion of the Faith in there, and that's going to effectively give you the same thing. Stick him in a unit of Lannister Guardsmen. You have an 8-point unit, but they're going to get a 5+ morale, which is going to trigger Lannister Supremacy, which is going to trigger additional healing for him. It's just really nasty in there. Warrior Sons is another very popular option. It makes them a gigantic, stupid, expensive unit with him. But they're going to be hitting a staggering 2+ morale, where every time they pass that, they're going to be healing wounds. They're going to be generating faith tokens, which is going to give them the ability to have extra defense dice, which is going to give them the ability to have extra offense. It's just going to be a damn near unkillable unit. If you want to keep things a little cheaper, you could look at House Bolton Blackguard. That's going to give them a 4+ morale and allow them to heal up and actually stay in the fight a little bit longer. I mean, Barristan is again one of those like big, like nasty attachments that really you can, if you stick him into a unit, it's gonna make the unit just really good. So it's just a matter of is the points investment going to be worth it? As far as a mid-range option, I'm actually a fan of sticking him in Halberdiers. I know I keep going back to Halberdiers, but they're just a really good attachment bunker. Because with Barristan, they're going to be a 4+ morale, and he's going to give them healing, and even a little bit of healing on the Halberdiers is going to help them out because, again, they're never going to lose efficiency until they hit that very last rank, and Barristan can assure that they are staying in a fighting stance of at least two ranks to really make the best use of their eight dice, their sundering, and okay, yeah, the 4+ hit's not great, but I mean, the sustained attack of eight dice is, really going to help them out. And it's not going to be the world's worst investment at 9 points there. So that is going to actually cover all of the Kingsguard. So now we can actually move on to the other character attachments. But before we do that, we're going to sidetrack back to the Clegane Butcher that I had spoken about before, because I actually went and dug up his specific card that he had. Because I didn't want to give you guys any false information there. And as I said before, the one that we showed off the expo was an outdated one. And that's just one of those things that happens when assets are being generated together for presentations. But you really can't call that out during a live show, and you definitely don't want to do that. So we just kind of roll with it. That's also why everything has that giant subject to change stamp on it. But the version of the Clegane Butcher that we actually have is his 2-point cavalry attachment with two abilities. One, Weaken Resolve. When an enemy engaged with this unit fails a panic test, that enemy becomes weakened. And then the order, Sow Terror. When an enemy engaged with this unit fails a panic test, one other enemy in long range of that enemy suffers one panic test. So effectively, we have two things going on here. We have Weaken Resolve. Let me rephrase this by saying that we have actually two options for where he can go. We have the Knights of Casterly Rock, and then we have the House Bolton Flayedmen. But he synergizes exceedingly well with really any of those units. Because if you look at his synergies that he is going to be bringing to the Knights of Casterly Rock, then you have the ability to whenever something engages them fails a panic test, they'll become weakened. And anything that attacks them is going to trigger potentially Lannister supremacy, because of their, 6+ morale. They're probably not going to fail that, at least they shouldn't, mathematically too often. So you fail a panic test from either them charging you, which, they should because they're cavalry, or from the attacker suffering a Lannister supremacy check, then they're going to become weakened, which is going to give them even further sustain, which is something that, Lance cavalry doesn't really have a lot of. I mean, they've got a 3+ defense, so they do have that built in, but really that's something they don't want to, have. They want to be able to get in combat, hit something, and then if they don't finish it off, be able to get out of combat. But the more interesting thing is that order of sow terror. Whenever something that's engaged fails a panic test, something else in long range suffers a panic test, and this is again going to synergize exceedingly well with the knights because they're going to cause panic test when they charge in with their lance, and they're also going to do it every time they're attacked with Lannister supremacy, assuming again they pass a morale test. And that's going to clock them in at 10 points, but frankly, that 10-point unit is going to get a lot of work done. The other option that you have to stick them in is going to be House Bolton Flayed Men, which have vicious and make the enemy panicked on the charge. So therefore, you already have these natural synergies rolling together. So that's going to help them out there. And then, of course, you also have, the weakened resolve to help them survive a little bit longer. Now, they don't really need it for the same reasons that the, Lannister, sorry, Knights of Castle Rock do, because they already have a baseline 3+. So that is going to be, a place you can, look at that as well. Now, there actually was one other option, because I forgot that these technically will have been released by the time that I am sticking this out, and that's the Bloody Mummers Zoris Riders, which are going to be a very fast cavalry option available. Technically, with them, they're really not going to synergize too well with the Clegane Butcher, so I wouldn't stick him in there. The other two options are definitely going to be way better, and frankly, like the Knights of Castle Rock are going to be the go-to option currently, to utilize him. So, really, that's going to be the number one choice by far is going to be Knights of Castle Rock, with the Flayed Men being a second, and the Zoris Riders. I mean, if you've got 2 points to fill and you really want to like stick them in there, feel free, but they don't really synergize that well with him, so don't waste the points there. I really can't suggest that. Okay. Continuing to move on back to some infantry attachments, we have Sandor Clegane the Hound, and this is one of my favorite characters in the setting, just because, I mean, how can you dislike him, especially with him and his little travels of Arya? Now, granted, a lot of that is the show representations, playing off on me, because I just loved the actor, and I thought that he did a fantastic job, of all the lines that he had. But he brings to the table, cut them down. Each time an enemy engages, the unit fails, suffers wounds from a panic test, they suffer 2 additional wounds. So with the arsenal that the Lannisters have, bringing to the table here, with the amount of damage they can cause through panic, this is definitely going to be, just one of those, like, I'm going to hurt you even further. So if you were playing, around with that, and this is the, this is the route that you want to take with your army, that is going to absolutely just synergize exceedingly well to how he actually functions. And this is just going to, bring extra bits to the table, and you're going to see a lot of people sticking him on just raw offensive units, but and that's good. But there are other ways, and other units to explore here. Like, I actually really like sticking him in a unit of Lannister Guards, and I know a lot of people like Lannister Guards. They just kind of default to always putting a guard captain there. But with Sandor, he actually does bring up their offensive potential quite a bit, because they're not going to do any damage via combat. So, that's the problem, is that attacking with them is almost like, a little of I'm going to hit you with a bunch of pool noodles. So yeah, great. But with Sandor, he's going to be at least sticking some, like, I don't know, typhoid covered nails in those pool noodles, so they're at least gonna panic fairly easily. So if you do hit them, you have the potential to deal extra damage or cut them down, when you're doing it via that method. But then also Lannister supremacy, anytime you're attacked, will kick on and trigger and cause that to, go in as well. And that's something else to factor in, is that Sandor is one of those effects that he's going to actually exponentially make your army better if you technically play it correctly, because that ability doesn't just affect the unit he is in, it affects anyone that the enemy is engaged with. So, if you have him in one unit of Lannister Guards and then another unit that comes up and attacks the same target, it's going to trigger cut them down anytime they fail a morale test. Well, sorry, anytime they fail a panic test, they'll suffer the additional wounds. So, that's something to factor in there as well, is that this is another one of those attachments that theoretically, depending on the rest of your army layout, is going to, bring some extra benefits or lower benefits, depending on that play style there. Okay, moving on. We're going to be bringing on to Jaime Lannister, the Young Lion. He is bringing boldness and courage to the attack to the unit for 2 points. When this unit makes a melee attack, it is always treated as having one additional rank. If it already has full ranks, it rolls plus two attack dice. Once again, I get to say halberdiers because he's going to bring their profile to 10 attack dice, 8 attack dice, 8 attack dice, even at last rank. So you basically have to essentially wipe out the entire unit to remove any type of effectiveness that they have. I mean, that is, it's by far going to be the best place that you can put Jaime. I almost don't even want to look at any other combat unit because that is just really how effective he is going to be when you stick him there. The other option to look at is going to be House Clegane Mountainsmen, just because you're going to help sustain their attack profile. It's going to bring them to a 10-8-6 profile, which is going to be very respectable across the board with a 3+ to hit with vicious and critical blow. So, that's something to factor in there as well. Pyromancers become even more of just a devastating unit with him, bringing their attack profile to an 865. Oh, sorry, 866. No, I'm sorry, it's 865. Sorry, tripped myself up there a bit. Which, again, with their capabilities to just dealing raw wounds, is going to be something, that's really going to, add some extra effects right there. Theoretically, you could stick him in Warrior's Sons, although really, now we're getting down into just putting him places just for the sake of sticking him places. House Bolton Bastards Girls is actually another not bad option because he's, again, any unit that has a sustained attack profile. And so the Bastards Girls would become an 866, another respectable profile. Something to factor in there as well. So really, but that first unit of Halberdiers is just, it's leagues above anything else I can suggest. So that's really what comes down to in that situation. All right, moving on, we're going to be moving to Tyrion Lannister, the Giant of Lannister. And here at 2 points, we have Adaptive Tactics, which is when this, while this unit is engaged, may expend a condition token on an enemy, engage this unit as if it were any other condition token, and an Order Cunning Strategy. When an enemy within short range uses an order or is targeted by tactics card, roll a die on 3+, cancel that order or tactics card. Tyrion is going to also fall into that category of attachments that's just going to be generically useful, kind of independent of the unit that you stick him in. In this situation, though, he is going to create kind of a field bubble around him, so you're going to want to stick him in a defensive unit. But while he does, that's because you want to keep him alive. But the issue there is that you're going to want to stick him in specifically a tanky unit. So I would suggest Lannister Guardsmen just because they're innate 3+ save. Halberdiers just because, you don't want enemies charging you, but I feel like I'm just keep circling back to the Halberdiers as attachment bunkers. House Bolton Blackguard, I mean, I'm really kind of doing the same song and dance here with him. He is one of those independently good attachments that's going to create field presence, so you really just want to stick him someplace that he's going to stay safe. So any good tanky unit is really what you're going to be looking at in that situation. Moving to the opposite end of the spectrum, we have Gregor Clegane, Lord Tywin's Mad Dog, coming in at 3 points, tied with Barristan Selmy for one of the most expensive Lannister attachments, but he is bringing some scary offensive capabilities to the table. Inhuman strength. The unit's melee attacks gain plus two dice and sundering and uncontrolled rage. When the unit activates, if it could declare a charge, it must make a morale test. On a failure, it must declare a charge action, but automatically counts as having rolled a six, which means that it's going to have a successful charge, except in some very strange, well, actually, no, there's no scenario where it could not, it's not going to pass the charge there in that case. So Gregor is going to turn any unit into just a, murdering blender. By far the most popular combo is to stick him in a unit of Warrior's Sons, which is going to bring them up to a 11-point unit, but they are going to be rolling potentially 10 dice with sundering and auto-passing charges. And the thing is, it's triggering a morale test, which means in worst case scenario, if they fail, which they have a 4+, they probably won't. But even if they do fail, they're going to be triggering battle prayer and gaining a faith token. So there's really a no-lose situation there. But that's kind of the thing that you should be looking at when you're talking about an 11-point unit. Another popular thing is to stick him into Pyromancers, which is a little bit of a waste because you're really just kind of getting the benefits of the plus two attack dice there. But on Pyromancers, you're going to probably 50% of the time you're going to fail your morale test and you're going to have to charge. Benefit: You're going to auto pass that charge, and you're going to be swinging on the enemy with Wildfire. That's going to have an 8-7-5 attack profile, hitting on threes with rerolls because you charged. And if you roll any ones, you're going to be causing wounds to yourself and the enemy. But you're just going to be stacking wounds on top of wounds there, all for the sake of 10 points. Now, in this situation, you are completely wasting his Sundering because their attacks already don't allow defense saves. But, you know, frankly, for the extra offensive potential that you're getting there, and just really the quote-unquote downside of the charge, that is a, you know, that's a solid investment. So, something else to factor in there. Let's see here. I'm going to give a quick skim over to see if there are any other attachments, characters that I'm not forgetting that are not commanders and that are not neutrals, because we really don't want to target any of those. Giving another look over here, I believe that is actually going to cover the entire gambit of the Lannister attachments, except for one other that I had not talked about, that is new to the attachment box. So, now granted, I did talk about, you know, one earlier, but you know what? Let's go ahead and give you guys another. So we have the Lannister Turncoat. I had actually previewed the art for this one a few weeks, spoiled back on the A Song of Ice and Fire Miniature Wargamers unofficial fan Facebook page. So if you are not a member of them, you know, definitely join in there, because that's first off the one of the largest online communities. Well, it is the largest online community for Song of Ice and Fire, but also one of the largest, you know, unofficial CMON fan pages, and they do a good job of upkeeping that. So we helped them out time to time with some spoilers. But anyway, let's talk about the Turncoat. So this is a. Oh, by the way, on the same note, I know I did not talk about any of the Kickstarter exclusive guys, because they are not released to the general population, and frankly, don't kind of exist because of that reason. But we have the Lannister Turncoat. And this is opens up a different playstyle for Lannisters, and the fact that this guy, like Mame Jamie, which is why I kind of brought up the Kickstarter stuff, he this guy attaches to an enemy combat unit at the start of the game. And he has the ability that once per game, at the start of any turn, your opponent may deal this unit one wound by removing this model. And if they do, the unit gains one condition token and may not use orders or be the target of friendly tactics cards this turn. Noting, by the way, that again, you're equipping this to an enemy unit, therefore the references to the opponent would be the owner of the turncoat, aka you, the Lannister player. So that is one of those things that can kind of confuse people, but it's a necessity for, you know, how gameplay rules operate. But anyway, the point being, you stick this guy in a unit, and at the start of any turn, that unit suffers a wound. So already, you know, they're gonna be down a guy, and it's going to be that model to be removed. But it gains a condition token and cannot use orders or be the target of friendly tactics cards. So it's going to be a one turn kind of like neuter for that unit on top of whatever condition token you're giving him. And also, because you are being able to choose any turn, you can use it offensively and you can use it defensively. If you want to use it defensively, let's say the unit has an aggressive order or something, or you're facing an aggressive army that you know has tactics cards that are going to play off attacks or charges, you can pop this at the start of the turn, make that unit weakened, and then they can't use their cool little orders or tactics cards. Conversely, you can use it on the defense, oh, sorry, on your own offense by being able to show off defensive capabilities and potentially throwing down a panicked or a vulnerable, just depending on what you need at the time or what synergizes better with your commander. So a very good, just well-rounded option here for a lot of different playstyles. He's not a cheap attachment. He's definitely not 1 point. I'm not going to spoil that, but he's definitely not 1 point. And he's definitely not a super expensive one at 3 points. So, you know, maybe some spoilers there if you have the slightest semblance of how math works. But hey, you know, I'm not going to say anything directly there. Still, he's a very attractive choice here. It's just one of those things that, you know, you don't really want to spam out too much, because, you know, while it is effective, it is a one-time use effect. And, you know, part of it is a psychological mind game about what unit you stick him in, because, you know, that is something that's going to factor into play there. But still, you know, a very just kind of, you know, nasty effect that you can, you know, really kind of look at there. So, man, we've been going on for quite a while, but that is really going to cover all of the generic non-commander Lannister attachments. And that is the first of this series here. If this proves popular, we'll probably go over, you know, the attachment boxes and just the generic attachments for all the other factions as well, and just update this accordingly, you know, as we're going through. And just giving some thoughts here. So I guess we're gonna close this out by asking, what is your favorite unit and attachment combination? Specifically, avoiding commanders and avoiding any type of neutrals because they'll get their own spotlight. In the Lannister army, what is is your favorite just the generic, bread and butter guardsman plus guard captain, or are you one of the accentuates who really just likes having, Gregor's, Gregor's faithful, where you have your big 11-point just stomp a unit. So tell me your thoughts here, in the comments and everything. Let me know what you guys feel, and we will jump into another faction next time. All right, so guys, thank you for tuning in, and take care.